you know that Mitzi, let's say, makes a habit that at the conclusion of every meal, she serves a fruit as a dessert. Okay? If this were the normal procedure, that every time that she serves a meal, let's say every time she serves you dinner, that she adds a fruit at the end, then in that case, when you said Hamotzi, you already had in mind the fact that it would take care of everything, including what is going to be served at the end of the meal. Okay? If, on the other hand, this is a rarity, she doesn't serve you normally, but she decided to be good to you this time and she brought you in some fruit, then in that case you're expected to make a bracha for it. Correct. And with wine, this is said specifically in the Mishnah that if you said Bori Pri HaGofen at the beginning of the meal, like we do, for example, you know, Shabbos with a Kiddush, right? Then in that case, if you serve any other wine later on, don't have to make a bracha. But if you started the meal with Hamotzi Lechem and Haaretz, and you didn't get wine until later in the course of the meal, then in that case you have to make the bracha Bori Pri HaGofen at that time. So, let's say you sit down to a meal and you start in to eat, right? And then the hostess comes and she takes out a bottle of wine to serve. Okay? In that case, you have to make a bracha Bori Pri HaGofen. Okay, we have a lot of things to learn over here in Brooklyn.
I can see that.
Right. So they try to draw a parallel to, in order to give an answer to the question. Whether they'll answer the question or not, it's a b'zundarazach, you know, that's separate. But the point is that they're looking for parallels to see, maybe on the basis of parallels, they could come to a conclusion as to what the din should be over here. Alright, so they start in. They say that Toshma, come and listen, which means, okay, I'll quote you a Gemara. Gemara, you know, someplace else. The Gemara says over there that Shachri is posach b'yitzor, b'sim b'mariv arovim le'yotza. Okay? If in the morning he started the Baruch Hu Atah Hashem in the Kedem HaKoy Lom, Yisro Rekhoshech, right? Osa Shalom Yisakol, etc., etc. And then he concluded the Baruch Atah Hashem ha'mariv arovim. So in that case, what do we say? It's not Yetzer of the bracha, even though most of the bracha dealt with the morning, but by virtue of the fact that he wound up with Amar of Arabim, so he was not Yetzer that particular bracha. Okay? Arvis, and what about in Mariv? Posak the Mariv Arabim, let's say he started the bracha, Bochat Shalom, Kein Mechilom, Ashevid Dvori, Mariv Arabim, etc., etc., and how did he wind up the bracha? Bochat Hashem, what? Yotzer Hamoros or something like that, right? So Yotzer Or, so Lo Yotzer. They say that he also hasn't fulfilled the bracha. Posach be Yotzer Or. Now look at the second thing. Okay, says first of all the Marev. Okay,
Marev Lo Yotzer.
Yeah, all right. Arvish said Posach be Marev Arovim Sim Yotzer Lo Yotzer, but Posach be Yotzer Or. If, on the other hand, he had started the bracha by saying, Bochat Hashem, Nekin Makalom, Yisro Rechoshech, Eishe Shalom Reishakol, the Siyem B'mariv Arovim, and he concluded the bracha, Bochat Hashem, Hamariv Arovim, this is the Mariv we're talking about now, Yotza, he has fulfilled the bracha. Of course, you could ask why. Well, one reason why is because, number one, when we're saying Yotzer Ro Revore Choshech, we are already mentioning Kosher, right? So it's not so far off that if he remembered to conclude the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Amariv Arovim, that he was yotze with the bracha. Okay? Whereas if he had started with, you know, Hashem is Baruch Amariv Arovim, wound it up Baruch Atah Hashem Yotze Hamiyoros, they say this is not, because he wound up with the wrong conclusion. Alright? So far, what does it show us? It shows us that if your start is right and your ending is wrong, then in that case you're not Yetzer. But if you started off wrong and wound up right, then in that particular case we say that it's you're Yetzer with the bracha.
So the ending is the most important part.
So right. So according to this, then this would seem to confirm the fact that do we go after Ika bracha, in other words, after the beginning of the bracha, what we had in mind when we started it, or do we go after the chasima, after the conclusion? And this would seem to be proof that the chasima is the more important part of the bracha. Okay? Klolo shel dovar. Hakol holeich achar achosim. So, then we come to the following conclusion. Okay? Klolo shel dovar means this is the general rule then that we learn from this discussion that has gone on, that hakol holeich achar achosim, that everything follows the conclusion. In other words, if the conclusion of the bracha is right, then in that particular case, the bracha is a valid bracha.
So okay. Even though it was beer, and later you realized it was wine, and you ended up saying, Rafia Guffin, under this rule, you are right.
Correct, correct. Yeah.
Isn't that only because, as we just said, there's a relevancy to saying yes or or?
Oh, this is the question that the Gemara wants to find out right now. Is this really a general rule that holds, or are we again dealing only with a special case? That's what they want to know. So they say Shani Hasan says, "Now that the case that you're quoting me now is different. Why? The Kama Baruch Yitzchak Hamayoros, right? So he said, first of all, how did he wind up? Baruch Atah Hashem Yitzchak Hamayoros, right? When all right." So, number one, we can say that this wasn't a valid bracha, if you wish, for various reasons. Hanichol Rav, in accordance with Rav, and here we come to a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav says, "Kol bracha shein bo haskaras Hashem eino bracha." So Shapir says, if you follow the opinion of Rav, who says that any bracha which does not have the name of God as part of the bracha, in other words, it doesn't say Baruch Atah Ad Hashem, right? So it's not a valid bracha. So in that case, we would say that it would be a valid bracha Yirtzeh HaMayoros if what? If he started, let's say, Hamariv Arovim, and he wound up with Yirtzeh HaMayoros, right? It would be a valid bracha, because how does he wind up the bracha? Baruch Atah Ad Hashem Yirtzeh HaMayoros. But as you can see, they're getting away already from the thing that we started to discuss, because instead of basing it on the question of is the chasima the important thing, is the ending the important thing or not, he's bringing in an issue as, is it a bracha if it has the mention of God's name? Now remember the Tosfos that we had before about the bracha achas, that what did Tosfos say? They said, we're wondering a little bit, because in the bracha that the Kohanim said, you know, the Kohanim of the Mishmor said to the new Mishmor coming in, right, the name of God is not mentioned. It says simply Misha Shikain Shmo Babaya Sazer, right?
Well,
yeah,
that's a reference.
Of course it's a reference, but it's not an actual mention. That's the point.
Well,
all right.
It's a technicality.
Yeah, it's a technicality, right. So instead of arguing, as I said, on the basis of is the chasima correct or incorrect, Rav is arguing a different point. He's arguing a point as to, is it a bracha? If it mentions God's name, it's a bracha, and if not, it's not. What does Rav Yochanan say? Ela Rav Yochanan diyomo kol bracha she'in bo malchu esein a bracha. Rav Yochanan says that any bracha which doesn't have the phrase Elokeinu melech ha'olam is not a bracha, then it certainly we would have to say that this was no bracha. Because, I mean, when he did say, he was saying it for the wrong thing, if you remember.
Yeah, because that was not wine, it was beer,
right.
Not wine.
So, the point that they're making over here is that they've dragged now the Mark Lake is into a different area. So my Yikol Neimor, what can you say? I mean, what do you? How can you apply this? But remember, we had a statement one page back in the name of Rabbi Barula, who said, that the first bracha that we say before the Shema Yisrael, whether it's evening or morning, in the morning we want to bring in some reference to the evening, and in the evening we want to bring some reference to the morning. Well, as we said, what is the reference to the evening in the morning bracha? Of course, it's Yisro Barikosha, right? And in the evening, what did we say is the reference to the morning? No, because it ends Baruch Shamar Barovin. God causes the light to pass away before the darkness, and the darkness before the light. So we see that there is a mention in both of them, okay? So Kikoma Brocho Malchus Meikorat Havayu Koma. So if he started the bracha by saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and this is what he had in mind to begin with, then Atavayu Koma, then in that case it should be okay whether it's for Shachris or whether it's for Ma'ariv. So in that case, according to this, don't try to draw me a din from a special bracha. This bracha has in it both elements of night and dark, right? Night and day, excuse me. So that therefore you cannot use that as a parallel.
So you eliminate
that. And according to the last opinion, he would be of the opinion then that if you started off, even if you started off, let's say, Hamariv Arovim in the morning and wound up, Baruch Atah Hashem Yetzam Yeres, you would be Yitzik. Because you mentioned,
yes, sir,
right, you know, both elements, okay, and you wound up with the day. Or vice versa. You know, if at night you started in by mentioning, you know, the Me'oros, and you wound up with Baruch Atah Hashem Hamariv Arovim. Because of the fact that it says Golei Lomim Nechoshim Choshim Neyor, so you have a reference to both, so that therefore even if you started off with the wrong bracha in mind but you wound up with the right bracha, then in that case there's no question. But don't draw me a parallel from this, because this is a special case. There is relevance, in other words, within the bracha for either way. Okay,
I don't understand about what did Rabbi Yochanan prove with
this? Rabbi Yochanan feels that no bracha legitimately is a bracha unless it says Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. This was his opinion.
What relevance does that have to the Chatima?
Yeah, well, first of all, the Chatima, if you remember, if we say the stress is upon the Chatima,
right,
how can you call it a bracha, yeah, if it only says Baruch Atah Hashem? It doesn't say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam at that point. This is the point.
Right.
But of course, you know, that is the chatzimo for the bracha that begins with emes ve'emunah. Okay?
Right.
Or emes ve'yatziv. Yeah.
Could you do a chazara now? The first case of the two cases of the wine and the beer.
Okay.
The first case was easy, the second one that led
to the right. Okay. First one we said, all right, let's say he has wine and he winds up and he says the bracha shakol niyabidvori, thinking, you know, that it's beer, but whatever it may be. Is he yoytze with the bracha for the wine? The answer is yes, he is. But we said the reason why is because we learned that shakol is an all-purpose one.
Excuse me, he had wine.
He had wine, and he made the bracha shakol niyabidvori over.
All right.
Okay? That's what we started with.
We said he's yoytze.
Correct. And then we said, what if on the other hand he had beer and he made the bracha Bori Pri HaGofen?
Right.
So he's not Yetzer. Okay? But they got away from that altogether, because the way the wording of the text is over here, they're more interested in what did you have in mind when you started the bracha? And that being the case, if you came to the right conclusion, are you Yetzer with the bracha or not? So in case one, where he had wine and he made the bracha shakol niyah bidvoroi, so we say, look, I mean, it says specifically, you know, in the Mishnah that in that case he's yoytze. He's yoytze for any kind of a food where he makes shakol niyah bidvoroi. So he cannot draw me a conclusion based upon that, okay? We would paskin that, you know, if he said shahakol for the wine, it's okay. But if he said bori pri hagofen for the beer or the liqueur or whatever it was, right,
he
would not be yoytze with that particular bracha, because he should have said shahakol niyabidvori. But if we say when he started the bracha he had in mind one thing and he wound up with the other, it would seem common sense that if he came to the right conclusion, that's more important than what he first thought when he started out to make the bracha.
So this rule that
Right, correct. This is a generalization. The only question is whether the cases that they bring really substantiate that this is a generalization that you can rely upon, or are we only dealing with exceptional cases? Cases which have, you know, something unusual about them.
Confined to their sort of special circumstances.
Yeah, right, right. As I said, for example, in the first case, right, Mariv Arovim, normally would say, what, if you send a Mariv Arovim, you wound up your summers, Roch is no good, because the Chasima was wrong, right? But if you're looking for justification to say, don't throw out the Brocha, so you can say, okay, there's justification for this particular Brocha, because he, you know, he started out by thinking about Hamari Varovim, and the fact that he wound up with Yisam V'yoreis, no, but he still mentioned evening already before, and as we said before, since it's a mitzvah to mention the evening in the morning, and the morning in the evening, so therefore you're Yitzhak with that. So don't draw me any conclusion from this either. Okay? So we have to take a look at another one. Toshma, another example that they want to use and see whether it's going to fit, you know, the business. It says Masefa, from the conclusion of the previous statement where we said Klolo Shel Dovar, Hakol Olecha Chasum, right? That the generalization says that the conclusion that we can draw in general is that we follow the Chasum, we follow the conclusion of the Bracha. So tell me, what is this adding to what has already been discussed? Isn't this to include whatever cases we've already discussed? So they say, no, it's latsui nam over tamre. It's to add something else. Namely, nahamo, which means bread, and tamre, of course, which means dates. Okay? What about bread and dates? So, hechidomi. Gemara wants to know, how does it happen like this? Ilemo de ochal nahamo, because of the tamre ochal, right? If we say that the man ate bread, but he thought that he was eating dates. I mean, we normally could tell the difference between a date and so on. But you know what they were thinking of? They were thinking of some kind of a date bread. You know, you eat date bread sometimes.
Or that he was didn't have in mind of what he was eating.
Right.
He had the beer and the wine first.
Right, very good, Jerry.
He got a bit of fistful for snacks.
So he says, all right, the case of a man, let's say, who was eating bread and dates, right? How does it happen? So he says, the Ochel Namo, he ate bread because some of the Tamri Ochel, he thought that he was eating dates. So Ufosach, when he started out the bracha Adato the Tamre, he thought that he was eating dates. The same is the Nama. But what bracha did he wind up with? He wound up with the bracha Hamotzi Lechem in Horetz. So he says, Hainu Bayon, he says, this is talking about our kasha, this is our problem, he says. He says, Leitzricha, you know when we need to solve a question of this type, says Kigoin de Yochal Tamre because of a Namochal. It's where a person eats dates, he thinks that he's eating bread, Ufosach did Nahamo, so he started by making the bracha for bread, the Siyem be the Tamre, and he wound up instead with the bracha for the dates, so Yotza. He nevertheless has fulfilled his mitzvah, the Afilu Siyem be the Nahamo, because even if he had concluded with bread, Name Yotza. It also would have been Yotze, the bracha. Why? My Tama, for what reason? He says, the Tamre Nama Mezen Zayne. He says, the reason being, because dates also give sustenance. In other words, it's more than just a fruit, but actually dates can give, you know, strength, sustenance. And as a result, if you say Amotzi Lechem in Oretz, it is sort of a type of a lechem, according to this particular opinion. Now, I'm not saying that this is a halacha, but as you can see, there's an opinion to that effect, right?
He started out, what, he was eating
He was eating dates.
He was eating dates.
Yeah, and they thought
that
was bread, right. Why? So I say maybe they take the dates and they ground it or something like that into some sort of a flour and bake with it. But still it was essentially dates rather than bread. But he considered it as bread.
You
understand?
He considered it as bread.
He considered it as bread. And as I say, I mean, maybe it's like a modern equivalent to the not date bread, you know. The question is, even with date bread, do you make hamotzi on it? Or is it mezoinos?
And then he started to make what bracha?
He wound up with, as I say, he started to eat tamarim, okay? He started to eat dates, and he wound up saying hamotzi lechem
taurus.
All right. Okay? So normally we would say it's very far-fetched, and how could he ever do such a thing? But if you take a broad, general view that that dates being so nourishing a food, that it's as nourishing as bread, so then we could say, you know, that mitakvech, that he's yotze with the bracha in this particular case. Okay, I think we'll call it a conclusion at this particular point. And continue next week, where we'll be again discussing halachas that have to deal with the actual davening itself.
Did we finish
the pasuk? Yeah, yeah. The Tami Nami Mason Zayin. You see that?
Okay.
There's also been an elderly man that had lost his sense of taste.
Well, this is true. You're right. It's possible, except that you're supposed to make a bracha before you eat rather than after you start to eat.
I mean.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, there are different circumstances. I'd say, I think basically it's because they may have ground it up and used it as a flour of some sort. I mean, just as today, you have flour is made of all kinds of different things. Not just the, you know, the grains, but they do have flour made of different types of fruits, I think. And certainly potatoes, I mean, the potato flour is a very, very common thing. Pesach. If you're eating your mahadrin and mahadrin cakes, you know, it's all made of potato starch. It has no matzah meal or anything like that in it. The matzah, you know, doesn't have it at all, right? For matzah meal, you know, this already would be either mezainis or hamotzi.
But if the main ingredient in the date bread was flour,
right?
Then you'd have to say minaret.
Yeah, if the date was only used for flavoring, then there's no question that hamotzi would be the proper thing. But the question is, you know, how about the reverse? He thought he was eating bread and he said hamotzi. Is he yotze? Well, this is what I'm saying. Is he yotze with the hamotzi for the dates? So we say yes, because there is an opinion that says that dates provide as much nourishment as bread. All right, so that's what it is. But what conclusion do we come to? That while in general we say klolo shodover, you know, the generalization is that hakol olech acharachosim, you follow the conclusion of the bracha, this is the important thing, and I would say that everybody agrees to it, but from the examples in the Gemara, since each example that we had might have some special justification, so you can't draw really a klal, cannot draw a generalization on the basis of that. Gemara and Kedushin, we had a similar thing. You remember what we were learning last year in Kedushin. The question over there that you know, kol mitzvah, you know, mitzvah hazman shesban groma, right? Mitzvah hasa shesban groma. Whenever you have an affirmative commandment which is dependent upon time, then noshim peturos, noshim avonim mitam, right? They are not obligated to perform these things. Okay.
Women are not obligated.
And we still use this as a general rule. But nevertheless, the Gemara there brought in at least three or four different exceptions to show that there are mitzvahs, I'd say, which are dependent upon time, and where the women nevertheless have an obligation. One of them is, for example, Korban Pesach. It's a mitzvah, sase, shesban groma, and yet women are as obligated to eat it as anything else. Okay? And of course, there are others that Chachamim come along and say, you know, that they apply to women. It's a question, for example, is the woman obligated to, let's say, hear the reading of the Megillah? So the Gemara Megillah Paskins, yes, they are. Even though it's a mitzvah asay shezman groma, but because women were also involved in the Nes of Purim, they also would have been slaughtered by Haman, right? And it was through Esther, in the final analysis, that, you know, the Yeshua came. So therefore, they too have the obligation to participate in it. And then, of course, Tosfos came along, both in Kedushin and some other places as well, to point out the fact that if women take upon themselves the fact that they want to make a bracha, you know, to observe a mitzvah saseh, and they're even permitted to make a bracha for it. The example that he gives is, for example, benching lulav, okay? Benching esrog. Woman is permitted, if she's going to take lulav and esrog in her hand, so she can make a bracha.
They don't have to make brachas over the esrog and lulav normally?
We would say that if you follow the example of Mitzvah Tasei Shel Asman Gromo,
they wouldn't have to.
They have no obligation even. So along comes Tosfos and says, on the contrary, if they want to take it upon themselves, then they're even permitted to recite a bracha. It's not considered a bracha levatol if they do so.
Okay, but they can choose to do it.
They're not obligated.
They're not obligated, but if they want to, they can make a bracha.
They can choose to do it this Yom Tov, but not necessarily next Yom Tov.
Yeah,
but if they take the lulav and esrog in their hand, they must make the bracha.
Of course they make the bracha. Not only that, I mean, the question, should a woman sit in the sukkah? Technically, again, I mean, if you follow this rule, then the women are not obligated to sit in the sukkah. And believe me, I know Chassidim who talk a whole very fast to this. The women are only there to serve you in the sukkah. They're not there to sit and eat.
Oh, yeah, very good. Chitza, too.
Really, they don't work. As they're at a simcha, they show up. Clearly, I mean, it was...
But that's what we do not hold from that. We say that if a woman wants to come and sit down and eat in the sukkah, not only is she permitted to come and do it, but she can even recite the bracha leisha basukkah as well. Discussed is what happens if you start out a bracha, you had in mind one thing and you wind up with something else, right? So the question is whether Yetzer or not. So the general principle that was adopted is the fact that Hakol Holech Achar Chosam, you go according to the way the conclusion was. So, but of course, I mean, it's not as simple as all that. Obviously, if you know, you had in mind, you know, let's say that you wanted to make a bracha for, I don't know, let's say for bread, you wound up saying for Priya Gopha instead of Amotzi or something like that. So, it obviously throws it out, okay? Because the conclusion in this case was not the right conclusion. If, on the other hand, let's say you started to make a bracha, let's say you had a woman who said, all the pillars you find. Obviously it's no good, but if the question is, you see, if the moment that you said the word you died, you suddenly decide, oh wait a minute, I'm a Tumas,
and you woke up,
and then that's all right. Okay. So we have this principle of what we call talk today dibur, in other words, during the time that it says, you know, within the space of a few seconds, if you correct the bracha, then it's all right, but if not, then you have to start all over again,
repeat the whole bracha.
Right. So,
but is it that a bracha levatala then?
Then it would make it retroactively a bracha levatala.
Yeah.
So that's why we have to be careful when we make a bracha that we know what we want to say and we know what we're saying it for. Okay. Now, the Gemara continues at this particular point with some gute Welte by Omer Rabo Bar Chinono Sava Mishmeda Rab, right? Rabba, the son of Chinana Sova, the old man, said in the name of Rab. And what did he say? So first of all, the first statement that he made is Kol Shalei Omar Emes V'Yatziv Shachris V'Emes V'Emunach Adis L'Yotzi Le'Pegosan. He says that if, you know, immediately after Krishna, if in the morning you don't say the bracha which begins with the words Emes V'Yatziv, or in the evening, if you don't say Emes Ve'emunah Kol Zois, then in that case you have not fulfilled the obligation of reciting the correct bracha after the Shema Yisrael. And what does he base it on? So his posuk that he uses is Shenemar, as it's written, Ahagid Barboker Chasdecho, the morning to proclaim your chesed, your loving kindness. and the emunoscha and your faithfulness balelos. Well, obviously the emunoscha balelos, this we can see immediately. This is why we say what? Emes, emun, in other words, to affirm, you know, God's faithfulness. But the question is, of course, with the other one. So for this, we'll take a look at what Rashi has to say and what Tosfos has to say. Okay? Kol Mishleyamah brought Birkas Emes V'Yatzim, says Rashi. You see, that's roughly about 7 lines from the bottom. Okay? He says, okay. Kol Mishleyamah Birkas Emes V'Yatzim, whoever did not say the Brocha Emes V'Yatzim, Kemosha Teknuha, even as our sages have ordained that it should be this way, you see. The Tikkun, you see, the point is, who finally made the decisions as to how to say the brachas, how to daven the deodorants? The only answer is, it was our chachamim. Specifically, it was, as we'll learn a little bit later on, was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The members of the Great Assembly, they are the ones who sort of formulated the basic nusach for the davening, you know, chakras, minta, arvis, and so on and so forth. Although at the same time, we'll learn that our sages say that already Abraham was the one who ordained that we should daven in the morning, and Yitzhak that we should daven in the afternoon, and Yaakov that we should daven in the evening. And, you know, they have psukim for all of these things. As for example, about Abraham, it's written by Yashkem Abraham Baboker, right? Abraham got up in the morning, right? Got up early in the morning. So, and it's also written in the Hamokam Mahu, you see. So, you know, Mokam very often is interpreted as meaning what?
Right,
that's the literal meaning of it. But we also know that sometimes the Lebeda Shalelov is referred to also as Hamokam. So in other words, if he got up early for the Mokam, it was because he wanted to daven the Lebeda Shalelov. By Yitzhak, of course, it's written by Yisei Yitzhak Batsodeh Losuach Lifnei Zerah, that he went out into the field, losuach, which means literally to meditate, so to speak, you know, as it was turning towards evening, okay? And of course, the word losuach, to meditate, is related, you know, to the word sicha. What is sicha? Sicha is conversation. And of course, you know, that also in tilt, for example, it's like pouring out the heart a little bit, inshallah. It's written at the beginning of you know, one of the Kapitlach Tilim. This is a prayer of a poor man, you know, who as he is about to faint. So he pours out his siach, in other words, he pours out his heart in prayer, you know, to the revenge. So therefore, it's written about Yitzchak, that's, you know, by Yisei Losuach, so it means he went for that. Of course, by Yaakov Avinu, this we read in last week's Seder. What's written over there? It's written by Yivka Baboker, right? That literally he hit upon that particular place. All right, I'm not going to know every single interpretation of what by Yivka Baboker means, but the explanation is given in as far as the verb by Yivka is concerned. That we find also that the word Poga is used in several places in the Bible in the sense of to entreat, to beg, to pray, you see. So we see then that the fathers of our people were the ones who ordained it, but nevertheless, the actual nusach, so to speak, this was what was ordained by our sages, particularly, as I said, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah.
What era was that?
The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah is roughly about 400 to 500 years prior to the beginning of the Christian era. So in other words, our tefillahs go back already almost 2,500 years.
This is after the destruction of the Second Temple.
No.
Before.
Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era.
Common Era.
Okay. So the temple was rebuilt roughly about the year 500, I mean, just to take a round number, okay? 522, 510, something or other, you know, in that particular time period before the Common Era, and that's the time when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah began to began their activities, because they were among the people who came back with Ezra and Nehemiah and so on in order to rebuild Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael.
So what you're saying then, therefore, there must have been prayers said even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing.
Yeah, you're talking about when the first Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, we have prayers. We have a prayer by King,
by the
HaMelech and by David and so on and so forth. We have prayers by them too, sure.
By the Olam, though, but I'm talking about the Olam.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, the Yomar Kol Ha'om Amen, Hallelujah, you see. So obviously the people were there, they were listening, they were responding to the prayer. All right. So now the question is only, I mean, how do we derive... Yeah, all right, let's get back over there, yes. All right, so Rashi says then over there that whoever did not say Birkas Emes V'Yatziv, the Bracha of Emes V'Yatziv, even as they ordained it should be, V'chein Emes V'Emuna V'Yavis, and likewise the same thing true for Emes V'Emuna in the evening, so it's Lo Yotzi, it's not completed. Why? So we said, L'Hagid Ba'Boker Chazdecha. Now how does that work out? Okay, so it says, Birkas Emes V'Yatziv, Kulo El Chesed, She'osim Avoseinim Piv. Rashi explains to us that the whole bracha that begins with the words emes, v'yatziv, v'nochon, etc., etc., remember, what is the basic theme over there? There are really two themes over there. One theme is that the words of the Kriya Shema that we have recited are absolutely true, upright, and so on and so forth, just, and so on. You know, these are what all these different adjectives mean, okay? As a matter of fact, somebody figured out that there are 18 adjectives over there. For it, in order to correspond, you know, like the Mishkan Esra or the sentence, 15 adjectives corresponds to how many psukim you have in the Shema Yisrael and things like that. But I mean, the point is that we affirm the truth of what it is that we're saying, and then the major part of the bracha deals with the fact that we thank God for the exodus from Egypt. You know, beginning, let's say, with Esau, I was saying, out to whom, and so on and so forth, right? And we speak with Mitzrayim, Yaltonu, Arashem, Nekenu, and so on and so forth, okay? So we praise God for having brought us out from the land of Egypt, and we praise Him in the words of Michamoich, and Boelim Hashem, and so on. So that this, as Rashi explains, this is a bracha that we recite, thanking God for His chesed, for His loving kindness to us, which He performed for us in redeeming us from Egyptian bondage, okay, freeing our people and performing the miracle of the Red Sea, and that's why we say Michalocha and so on and so forth, to remember, you know, that, okay. Now, so Rashi says then that the morning, you know, the phraseology of the morning, Emes V'Yatziv, this is to thank God for His loving kindness and having freed us, She'osa Ima V'Segnu, right? And as I said, you know, He took our ancestors out of Egypt, and He also split the Red Sea for them, and He brought them through the Red Sea. Now, and how about the evening one in Birkas Emes V'Emunah? He says, Medaber Bo Apalasidos. So this, how does it differ from the morning one? The answer is that here the stress is not just upon what God did in the past, but it also expresses the hope for the future, you see. Al Hasidus, She'ono Mitzavim, that we are looking forward expectantly, She'ikayim Lonu Haftocha Sovem Notso, that the Veda Shalelam will fulfill for us His promise and His faithfulness, Emunoso, right? The pledge that He gave unto us, which He will be faithful to. The Goaleinu Miyad Melochim, that He will redeem us from the hand of kings, from the Yad Aritzim and from the tyrants. V'losum Nafshenu B'chayim, and to let our souls remain alive. L'hadrichenu Abom Esayivenu, and also to enable us to tread upon the high places of our enemies. Kol Eila Hanisim Hatempirim Tomid. All these miracles, says Rashi, are miracles that occur constantly, and we want to, you know, to express our gratitude to the Beit HaShalom that He continues to show His faithfulness to us by not only having redeemed us in the past, but continuing to redeem us now and in the future. All right, Tosfos take a look a little bit over there. Lahagin baboker chasdecho, right? That's the second place
yeah.
Over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he says, Chesed Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Otzalon Mitzrayim. Right? This is the loving kindness that God performed for us in Egypt. And Rashi says, explains that God's faithfulness and Munotzko, this speaks about the future. Shonim Mitzabim, Sheyishmo, Tavasov, and Masov, Yigolegim Yad Malachim, and so on, the way we just read over here. Right? And then it says, it was so bracha. But when it gets to the end of the bracha, it says Chozel Ligeula Defara. He then returns to praise God for the redemption that was done in the days of Pharaoh. Why? It's Kedei Lismoch Ligal Ligoal Yisrael. The answer is because he wants to have the conclusion of Goal Yisrael, which incidentally is that present, past, future. What is it? Goal.
Present day?
No, Goal is past.
Past?
Goal. Depends on the word Goal is past. So in other words, what Tosfos is pointing out over here is that even though we are talking about, you know, our hopes for the future, but nevertheless, how do we conclude the bracha? We conclude it again, harking back to the past, how God has redeemed our people. Okay?
What?
And of course, well, there are two reasons, okay? Reason number one is that this is the nusach of the bracha. Just as we say in the morning, Baruch Ato Hashem Goal Yisrael, we say it in the evening too. And remember what we also said, you know, that it's a mitzvah, the smoch, yehulo letzvilo, that immediately upon saying, you know, this blessing of redemption, we then proceed with the Shemona Esrei, and of course we immediately had the other problem. So what do you do with Hashkiveinu? Or what do we do if we say, Baruch Hashem Le'elam? And so of course we said, I mean, it's Geula Aricha. It's a long Geula. And what do we do with our Hashem Svosai Tiftach? So that we said, that's like part of the Shemona Esrei. Even though it's not, but yet it is like part of the Shemona Esrei. So this is the way we resolve all those different, all those problems. Okay? Then Tosfos concludes over there and he says, Inami, another explanation is, Al Devar HaMidrash. This is in accordance with the Medrash, which says Chatoshim LaBikorim Rabba Emunasepa, which means every morning great is thy faithfulness. She'odam Ma'amin, in which, you know, a man believes, and how does a man show his faith in God? So he says the answer is Umafkid Rucho Beyodo, that he hands over his spirit into God's hand. You know, we say biyot yakid ruchi, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, or the Adonai Lom biyot yakid ruchi, it's the same thing. But the pasuk in Tehillim is biyot yakid ruchi. Podiso siyar shem elements. This is the pasuk. So, a sign of faithfulness is not only God's faithfulness to us, but it's also our faith in God. By saying that we hand over our souls unto Him, we confide our souls unto Him, right? And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in turn gives us back our souls without any effort on our own part. In other words, you know, what do we say when we say Modani Lufanecha? Say Modani Lufanecha, right?
Melechai
V'chayom
Sheher
Hezarto V'Nishmasi. You have returned your soul, you have returned my soul unto me, right? So in other words, we are thanking God that during the night while we were asleep we had confided our souls unto Him, and in the morning when we wake up, so to speak, it's as if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives us back our souls, that we become conscious once more and able to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So this is how Tosfos understands it. Alright. Now, apparently Tosfos was also bothered by something else. This is the last Tosfos on the page over there. He says, Emes V'yatsim. Okay. So it says over there, Tosfos says, Lo Kai Al Ashchino. He says, here we're not talking about God's faithfulness when we say Emes V'yatsim and so on and so forth, but what are we talking about? Elakai aha dover hazeh. You know, we say, hadavar hazeh, Olenu the Yerlom Noved, right? In other words, this thing, what is this thing? We're talking about the, what we affirm in the Shema Yisrael. This is Emes Beyatik to us. The Chain, he says, is that this is a precious jewel, the Lesbe Tima, which has no Tima. What is Tima? So he says, Perisha Englo Shuma. In other words, you cannot even begin to estimate how precious and how valuable is this great jewel when we say, you know, Emes Beyatik. Okay? So Kol Ma'ashim Mishabeach Mizganeimo. It says normally the more that you praise, you know, the more it becomes like cheapen, but not in this case. The fact that we're using all these different words, they don't cheapen our awe and our, you know, our feeling for the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And they bring a question, they bring a parallel. The Chade Potzak Yomer Hakel HaGodol HaGibur HaZeira. And then he started in to add more words over there that were not in the bracha. And the Yomale Rabbi Chanina, Siyanta the Shukri the Morach, he says to him over there, tell me, that's all that you can think of as far as praising the Rebbeinu Shlomo? But he called Peh Lo Yuchal Esap Yeshifo. There is no mouth that can even begin to praise God
enough.
Right, exactly. So how can we do it? But nevertheless, this is the Nusach, and so what is the Nusach we're permitted to say, but don't go beyond.
Don't embellish it.
Right, don't embellish it, because then it becomes too cheap. Okay. It reminds me of some Chazanim that they think that if they repeat five times the same thing, that they're making it better. I think that I should have studied this Yerushalmi over here. Okay. We're back again to the Gemara at the bottom, all right? Now, another statement to Rabbi Bachin Natsova, Mishmei the Rav, is the name of Rav, he says, Hamid Palev. When a person, Davin Shmanesra, Kishahu Korea, Korea Bebora. When he bends his knees, it's when he says Baruch, Ushahu Zoke, and when he becomes erect, so Zoke for Shem, it's when he comes to the Shem, you know, Baruch Ata Hashem, okay? And we know that our procedure is what? Our procedure is that we bend our knee to Baruch, right? And of course, we then bow our head too. All right, so we'll discuss this now, because this is the source where we have it over here. Now, in another place in the Gemara, they mention where specifically it should be done. And, you know, specifically, there are only four places where you do it.
Oh.
At the beginning of the first bracha, you do, you know, Baruch Ato Hashem, and then at the conclusion of the first bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, before Mogen Avraham. And then to Modem, you do it again, and at the conclusion of that bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, you know, Hatev Shifat. So those are the only places.
You
otherwise,
don't say it's the last bracha, Sim Shalom or Shalom Ram.
No.
Kol Haim,
yes, because that is the conclusion of Modem. Yeah. Right. So those are the four places.
That is the concluding bracha.
No, it's not the concluding bracha, because the concluding bracha is the bracha for peace. Either beginning with the word Sim Shalom in the morning or Shalom Ram, is where, you know, we say to Min Gemara. Yeah. That bracha, by the way, you know, Birkas Shalom, actually, the Mishnah, the Gemara, so they refer to it as Birkas Kohanim. Why? First of all, because how does the Birkas Kohanim end? That's what the Kol Shalom is, so that this is considered the conclusion of, you know, the greatest blessing that we could ask the Rebbeinu Shalom. He should give us the Shalom, right? He should give us peace. And then, of course, we know that, you know, Shacharis certainly, in Eretz Israel, there are many communities, Yerushalayim particularly, you know, where every single day the Kohanim go and they branch, right? And they say the bracha, you know, the Rechavot, sorry. Right? Not with all the things that we say in between, but, you know, they make the bracha and they bench the people.
And they do it on Shabbos too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Shabbos they do it both to Shacharis and to Musaf.
And Musaf.
Oh yeah. Same would be true on Rosh Chodesh and so on, the Kalamayin and so on, you name it. Yeah.
What's the
Okay. Question is really, what do you have to say? That's a different Indian altogether.
Mm. I assume what you receive on those days, the first word you have a sentence.
Correct, but you know, I have to tell you that many authorities felt that nobody should say anything in between, but they should simply say Omein at the end of the, you know, each of these three psukim.
Three
psukim. Rabbi Shemekesh Brecha, and then Yoer, and then Yisrael to the Yosef Hoshach. Okay? So, there are differences of opinion about that. As to whether they should be said, our custom is to say it, but a lot of people, you know, feel that it should not be said. Now, in Eretz Israel, they do not say it except on a yontif, the Shalosh Rabbanim. It's the only time that they say it.
Say the paragraph.
Right. But yet, there's a Gemara in Sota which speaks about that, you know, if you travel with bad dreams and things like that, then you should say that for Dei Nishalena, you know, in between, during the time of Kaharim. You're right. Should take a little bit longer. I know. Certainly, when they finish that final paragraph, you know, the last one.
Forget about the third paragraph.
If I get halfway through, it's a big deal. Yeah, technically, you're supposed to be able to say.
You're talking about the large paragraph in between, or you're talking about the individual.
All right. The Rebbeinu Shalom, that's in between, you know, at the end of the first and the second of the two brothers, okay. That I can manage to stagger through just about the time that they finish singing their song and, you know, they conclude the bracha. But the other one that follows after that, that's a long one. It's Bishum Eifin Leif. I can never do it as fast as they.
But when they finish the first two, you say a bunch of them twice.
Right.
Do you stop where you are and just say Omein with them and go on, or try to finish it?
You should say Omein, really. That's more important. Right. The Omein to answer, you know, to their brother is more important than you should. Right. But if he could do so, he could, you know, have them coincide at the end, so that would be the best.
Well, I've read this. I've read the translation of that paragraph, and it really is, like you say, it's a kind of a specialized prayer.
Yeah, right. It says, you know, exactly that. If you have, you know, bad dreams and so on, so you pray to Rebbeinu Shalom, he should cure you from these bad dreams and turn the dreams, you know, into bracha. Just as he did with Bilam and Miriam and so on and so forth, and whoever else is mentioned over there. All right, so getting back to the Gemara, then the Gemara says that when you come to Baruch, then it's Korea, right? You have to bend your knees. So she was okay for when you stand erect, then it's okay for shame. You have to do it when you come to the name of God. Amar Shmuel Maitama. So Shmuel said, what is the reason for this? They said, "My Talmud, the Rav. What is the reason for Rav, who is the original author of the statement, which was quoted by Rav Bakin?" You know, so they said, "This is written on Hashem Zokev Kapukim, that Hashem makes those who are bowed up stand up, become upright. So therefore, when you come to the Shem of God, you should be upright at that point." Meisvei, so they asked the Kasha on this. Says it's written in the Malachi. Matter of fact, we had this after a couple of weeks ago. It's written Mipnei Shemi Nichastu, which means literally, he was humbled before my name. So it says Niksid Bishmi. Does it mean that he was humbled at my name? No, it's Mipnei Shemi, and he's taking it very literally. He says even before you get to the shame, this is where you should. In other words, the question is: should you be upright after, you know, Baruch Atah, and then you become upright before you say Hashem? Or should it be when you say Hashem, then you become upright? So this is not really solved. Okay? Amalei Shmuel, Lechia Barav. So Shmuel said to Lechia, he's Lechia Barav. He happens to be, as you see, the son of Rav. He says, Baruria. He says, oh, great scholar, he says. Baruria means literally like Ben Torah, it's the same thing, okay? Bar, remember, means son in Aramaic, and Urion, or Rai, so and so, and this means Torah, okay? So he says to him, Oh, great Torah scholar, says, Tovim l'chol milsim hagel. So, let me tell you something, a very fine vault, he says, the Yom Avuch, which your father said. In other words, that Rav said. He says, Hachi Yom Avuch. This is what your father said, he says, Kishahu Korea, Korea Bibora. Kishahu Zokev, Zokev B'Shem. So, in other words, according to him, when you say Hashem, that's when you should stand up, right? You should be upright.
Well, even when you're during Sukkot, when you're that's with the load.
I know what you mean. Like on Hashem Hashion, on Hashem Hatzlich. Well, I mean that we don't. On Hashem Hashion, right? Correct. Or Hodol Hashem Kitol. You're absolutely right that when it is at the name of God, we don't chuckle at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Out of respect.
Yeah. My own custom is, you know, that before, as it said over here, before you get to Hashem, this is when you are upright.
Right.
Now, Rav Shaces had a very interesting custom, which incidentally the Shulchan Aruch recommends, but you have to be a little bit agile in order to be able to do it, okay? Rav Shaces ki korah ki chizro, ki konzokim zokiv ki chivro, ki chivyo. Rav Sheshes, when he would bend his knee, he would do so like a stick. This is how Rashi understands it. Take a look at the Rashi. The Tat says, Kechizro, he says, it's a shavit, the yad potam. It's like a rod or a staff, you know, in the hand of a man. The chokto klape mata bevatachas. And when he gives it a zet down, it's in one shot. So in other words, you do it fast, so to speak. This is what he's trying to say, at once, right? But when you become a wreck, so in that case, says Rashi, what does it mean, Zokiv Kativyo, that you should do so like a snake? So he explains, Benachas, do it slowly. Rosho Tekhila, first your head comes upright, the Achakaf Gufo, and after that the body follows. Shalot Heroe Kriyoso Olof Kimatsuid. Why? So that it shouldn't seem that his bowing, bending his knee and bowing his head before the Rishbeinu Shalom looks like a burden to him, something he wants to get over quickly. So if you go down, you go down quick, at one shot, okay? And as some explain, they say that it means that both your knee and your head should go down simultaneously, but when you come up, do it slowly. This is what he says. So I say the Shulchan Aruch paskens according to this particular custom. Alright, we can take a look at the Tosfos. It's an interesting little statement that he says over there. It says Korah Kechizra, right? You should bend your knee like a chizra, like a staff, as we said. All right, l'kamen aminin, and later on, and later in the later chapter, the Gemara says aminin. We say ad shira isar, which means that if, let's say, you had a coin inside in an inside pocket, it's as if you could see the coin. You know, you stretch so that it becomes visible. Normally wouldn't be visible, but it becomes visible as such. Or, as another one says, when you can feel that the bones and your joints begin to pop, that's how low you should bend, you know, when you do the Rebbe Mishtachas. So, what does Tosfos say, continuing over there? It says, Leisagi v'chri olavad. It's not enough, he says, simply to bend your knee, but with your head remaining upright. But you also have to bow your head as well. Okay? The Chenis of Yerushalmi, the Firkin. Likewise, we find that the Gemara Yerushalmi, also for our first chapter over there, says, Levad Shalom Yeshuach Yesimidai. Yerushalmi says, don't bow down, however, more that is lower than you should. In other words, don't go and bend your knees as if you're practically ready to fall on the floor. That you shouldn't do. That's already exaggerated. Okay? Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, Uvavad Shaloyase Kehoden Chardono, Behind the Targum Yisham Yishal Tzav. Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, this is of course Gemara in the Rishami that he's quoting, he says, don't wind up looking like a turtle. Turtle, you know, it's flat, just a little, so don't bow down that low, okay? And also he noted that when the turtle bowed, so its head is still upright, and what should we do? Our head should not be upright, but when we bow, our head should be down. Okay. Over Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur, this is what Tosfos now adds, Shonu Shochin Kol Shoah B'Tfilah. And how about a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur when we're always shuffling and bending and so on, you know, as we say our prayers? So he says, Tzorech Shenizohed, and you have to be careful, Sheyagbiya Kodim Sheyisayim Habrocha. You have to be careful that, you see, some people had a custom, I understand there's still some Rosh Yeshivas who do it to this day, okay, that when they say Shemin Esrei on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they're bent over, they're bowing their heads and their knees throughout the tefillah. But inasmuch as it was ordained that we should do it at the right, you know, the four times, so therefore what Tosfos is saying is that when you come to those passages, you should first of all straighten up so that you could be fulfilling, you know, the mitzvah, bending the knee and bowing, you know, in accordance with what the halacha calls for. He should become erect a little bit before he concludes the bracha. Rak sheyicha v'boruch, you know, he should bend his knee v'boruch, v'sheyagbiya miyad, and should immediately rise. The minin lekaman, so he says, imbol lishkois tefila kol bracha v'seif kol bracha v'lamdinos l'shalo yishka. It says later on in Gemara, in chapter in Daf Lamed Aleph, it says over there that if a person wants to bow at the beginning of each bracha and at the end of every bracha, so they teach him, don't bow. In other words, don't do it only where it was expected to do it. Okay? Alright.
So therefore the chuckling and the back and forth motions really should not be done. It should be seized.
Well, it's a sign, as you realize, you know, the fact that
Kavana.
First of all, Kavana. There's a pasuk, you know, in Tehillim that says, "Kol atzmosei temarna Hashem nichamecha." Right? All my bones, literally, will say unto you, "O Lord, who is like unto you?" You see. So therefore, when we're putting our body into prayer, we're putting our entire body, soul, bones, everything gets into it. You see, into our prayer. So that's the counter argument, as you can see. So I guess we have to learn to strike a happy medium. The ikkar is that I think it should really come from the heart and be an expression of the heart and not simply a mechanical motion, because we've seen other people do it and we feel okay, so I'll struggle the way they do. The heart is important.
Well, sometimes it is involuntary.
Right, I understand, of course. Okay, another statement. Yom Rav Bar Chinen Osava, another one. Right, Nishmeda Rav, in the name of Rav, he says, Kol Hashanah Kulo, the entire year, Odom is Palel Ha'el HaKadosh, right? When a man says Shemin Esrei, so he winds up the Baruch Hu Atah Hashem, Ha'el HaKadosh, okay. Also, Melech Ha'el Tzadokah Mishpat, except for the 10 days, you know, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Shemispalel HaMelech HaKadosh, in which case now he has to conclude the bracha, instead of HaKel HaKadosh, he has to do it HaMelech HaKadosh. And instead of Melech HaTzadok HaMishpat, he says HaMelech HaMishpat. And of course, this, as we know, this is what all our Siddurim tell us to do as well. Okay? Rabbi Elazar Omar, but Rabbi Elazar disagreed. He said, "Apilu Omahu El Hakadosh Yotzo." He says, "Look, even if he concluded the bracha during the service of Meitshuv and he said, 'Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel Hakadosh Yotzo,' he has fulfilled his obligation. Shenemar, because we have a pasuk where it's written, 'Vayigba Hashem Tzveis Bamishpat,' that the Lord of Hosts is exalted in justice. The Hoel Hakadosh and the holy God, Mikdash Betzdaka, is, you know, sanctified Betzdaka. A Mosai by Yigbar Hashem Sveis Bam Ishbat, when is the Lord of Hosts exalted in Ishbat, in his judgment? It's Elo Asar Yamim Shemir Rosh Hashanah Yad Yom Kippur. Right, and nevertheless it says, because Omar, still, what did the Pasuk in Yeshaya say? It says, Ohel HaKadosh, Ohel HaKadosh Nishtab Tzedakah, right? So, since he disagreed with Rav, right? So the question is, my Havalah, so what decision did they come to concerning it? Is, should you make the change, or shouldn't you make the change? So Omar Rav Yosei, so Rav Yosef said, in other words, he was in agreement, right?
With the statement,
did not change it, exactly, okay, with the statement that was made by Rav Yelozer. So he agreed with him. Rabba or Mahamelech HaKadosh? Rabba, on the other hand, did say that you have to say Hamelech HaKadosh v'Hamelech HaMishpat. And the Gemara concludes, v'hil kesah, the halacha actually follows Rabba, and of course this is then that what we're supposed to say. Okay? Alright, Rashi, HaMelech HaKadosh, why did he suggest, you know, why did Rav, who was the original author of the, you know, the change, why did he say that we should say HaMelech HaKadosh? He says, L'fish HaBiyomim HaLolo, because on those days, the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, who Mare Malchuso, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, displays his kingship, Lishpot is Hawadam, in order to judge the world. And why do we change it to HaMelech HaMishpot? First of all, he explains. Technically, there is an oddity in the grammar over here. If you know Hebrew grammar, Jerry, remember about Nifrat, Nismah? Okay. Nifrat means, what does the word look like if it's not inflected? And then Nismah means, and what happens if a word then is followed by another word to which it is closely attached? I'll give you an example. Melech, okay? That's a noun. Okay? It's a noun. Now, you have two nouns, okay? Here you want to say the king of judgment, okay? So in other words, what happens? The word the king now becomes part of judgment, right? In other words, it's leaning on, it's depending upon that. This is what they call a nisma. Now, according to Hebrew grammar, when you have a case of smichus, where one noun depends on another, the first noun drops the ha, okay? So, technically, it should be Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech HaMishpat. This is the way it should be according to grammar. Nevertheless, how is the bracha phrased? HaMelech HaMishpat. So, the first thing then that the Rashi is explaining over here is that it's Kemo Melech HaMishpat. It's as if it means not the king, the justice, but it means the king of justice, or the king of judgment. Okay? And what happens over here now is he's bringing a few other examples where we find, you know, in other places in the Torah and the Vim Sivim, that also the hay was not dropped in the first noun. As for example, the bearers of Ha'aron Habris, the Ark of the Covenant. It should have been Aron Habris, but here it says Aron Habris. And he says that's like Aron Habris. V'chein ha-misgaros ha-mechonos, which means the frames of the stands. This is a reference to some of the furnishings of the Beis HaMikdash that you know, Mel Shulman did. So he's explaining to us then v'chein miskaros is a frame. So it should be, he explains it's kemo miskaros ha-mechonos. It's you know, the frames of the mechonos are like the basins or the foundation, something that you understand. Okay, v'chein ha'emek ha'pkorim, the valley, literally not the valley, the corpses, but the valley of corpses, emek ha'pkorim. So what he's explaining over here is simply a grammatical point that there are many other places, in other words, where in spite of the grammar, right, the Bible has a grammar of its own sometimes, okay?
Well, it apparently flows better that way.
Right, so. Right. All right, so we'll take a look now at the places where it's written, the Hilchos Kavoti de Rabba, okay? The Halachi says, follows Rabba. In other words, that was the last statement that said, you know, and Taka, what do we do? We say HaMelech HaKodesh, and we say HaMelech HaMishpat, okay? All right. The Tzorech Lachtem HaMelech HaKodesh, in other words, we have to conclude those brachas with HaMelech HaKodesh and HaMelech HaMishpat. V'im Lo Omar. Now, this is what Tosfos says. He says, and what happens if he didn't say HaMelech HaKodesh or HaMelech HaMishpat? So Mazir no so, then you have to go back again and say it all over. And Tosfos adds something over here, which I'll explain afterwards, is not the accepted halacha. V'chein zochreinu, likewise he says zochreinu, u'michamocha, right, v'chsov l'chayim, u'v'sefer chayim. All these, if you remember, you know, from the liturgy that we say, you know, beginning with Rosh Hashanah, including with Yom Kippur, that these are extra things that we add in the Shmona Esra. Tosfos says, Machzirin also in Lo Amar. You have to repeat it, says Tosfos, if you didn't say it. Okay? Why? So the reason Tosfos is very simple. It's the Kol HaMishanim in Matea Shetovot HaFolim in a Yetzidei Fosfei. This is a basic principle that we find in connection with brachos and tefillos, which says that anyone who makes a change in the matbea, literally the stamp or the coin, in other words, in the nusach, okay, in the formulation which our sages formulated, he has not fulfilled his obligation. The Chach Posak Rabbeinu Yehuda, likewise Rabbeinu Yehuda, also, you know, paskin that you have to repeat it. In Suffolk law, in Omar and Omar, Masir Naso, that Rabbeinu Yehuda said that if a man is in doubt whether he said these things or he didn't say it, then he has to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Kidei Isav Yerushalmi, the Tainus Perakama, as we find in Gemara Yerushalmi, Tainus, first chapter, it says, Oyem is Paleo. The person was saying Shemoneh Esrei, Inu Yodea, and he doesn't know in his Kir Talamata whether he has said Talamata. Right? Then what? V'imlav kosh loishim yoim, and it's not within the first 30 days, right? So it's v'cheskas shalei lamud. And he says, in that case, we can presume that he's not yet gotten automatically accustomed to saying talamata during the first 30 days. Peiri shalo amar, elekamo shehu lamud arato shalo amar kein. In other words, Tosfos explains that Yerushalmi means that during the first 30 days, a person, you know, if he's only davening automatically, then he's going to go on automatic pilot and do what he has been trained to do until now. In other words, not to say Talamata, but he's been saying the same bracha for how many months, right? So that the presumption is that he'll be saying the same bracha. So during the first 30 days, if he doesn't make this conscious effort to say the same Talamata, the bracha, then in that case he has to start all over again. Okay? This is what the Rishami says. Achakei, after the 30 days, then Bechezkash Shehizkir. Then we say the Chazok is that undoubtedly he must have said Talamata, because after the first 30 days of saying Talamata three times a day, so, you know, presumably then by now you're already, your mind has already made the adjustment, so to speak, to say it. So Tosfos adds, "V'hu hadin l'chol adorim shetorach lahazkir, kach hadin." And Tosfos says that anything that you have to mention, this would follow the same rule. So, in other words, if let's say during the first 10 days of repentance, right? Right, let's read it, because Tosfos and I are both in agreement. He says, "V'yimkein baseres imei tshuva." He says, "Therefore, during the 10 days of repentance, the lekos shleishim yom, we don't have 30 days, so tzorach la'afser, right? Then you have to repeat, okay? Since you have not yet established, you know, the habit of saying hamelach hamishpat,
it's worthwhile to repeat it,
right? So therefore, you have to repeat it. Or, as Taisvah said, the same is true for Zochreinu, and the same is true for Micha Moichon, the Sefer Chaim, etc., etc. Okay? Now, however, there's a slight disagreement. For Rabbeinu, it says over here Ches, but in the margin it says it should be a Mem. So naturally, if it's Rabbeinu, then it has to be Rabbeinu Meir. Okay? So, Rabbeinu Meir calls out, the Ein Bar Zir no so. He says, no, you don't make him repeat again the Kolosim Devarim, you know, all these different references, the Lay Posak, the Sefer, the Feirish. Why? Because we do not have an absolute psak halacha mentioned over here in our text that this is so. The Hevi Raya, the Gorbani brings different ones. Alright, so now we get down to the nitty gritty, okay? What is the din then as far as Palamotra is concerned? Let's see if you know what the din is over there.
Well, if you're in the first 30 days, you don't repeat it. After 30 days, you have to repeat it.
No, it's just the other way.
Palamotra.
Right, Palamotra.
Oh, okay.
So during
yeah,
the first 30
right.
days,
first
30 according
to
him, he says
yeah,
that the first 30 days,
right.
Because you're not
yeah.
used to it.
Right, right.
You still, you know, you still want to say the same brother instead of the same halamotim, right?
Right.
Okay, correct. Do you go back again to Borei Chaleinu then? Depends where you remember. I mean, if you say the same brother, oh, halamotim lebrach. That's still talk today, Gidur, as we said. In other words, if it's within a very brief space of time,
so
then in that case
you're
permitted to change. So in that case, remember, you sort of follow the principle of, you know, how did you wind up, right? Okay? This is the principle that we had on the other side of the page. So, okay. Well, let's say you already said the bracha, right? So, then what?
You have to start all over again.
Huh?
You have to start all over.
No. No, we're passing them more easily. We're more makom in this case. We say that, then in that case, mention it in Shema Kolenu. Because in Shema Kolenu, you can put in different requests, different bakoshas in the middle over there, before Kiyato Shemaya. The Panef Malkin and Kong Shemaynu, and at this particular point, you can add fillets of your own, you know, requests, whatever you want
you
to
do.
You could put in through a two over there, or of course on a tainus, you know, we would say aneinu ala shem aneinu, which is also like a request, and so on, you understand? And some people put in a prayer for panosa, and there are different things, you see, that people are permitted to add at this particular point. So, if you forgot to say talamotar during Baruch Aleinu, then you can say, you know, the same talamotar baruch apnei adomo, ki ato shemet v'safis v'rachim, okay? If after that you forget and you make the bracha, then there are some who say, okay, if you remember, let's say after Shemayat Tfilah, but before it say, you could say Talamot at that time. Others will do it, they'll just go back over it. Okay.
Go back where?
Go back, in that case, you should really go back to Atochina.
Atochina.
Because that's considered one big unit. Okay? So, but as I say, if you can remember, so if you forgot, so either remember immediately, but if not, then, you know,
that's
try to remember in Shmarkalim, okay? Or another opinion says that if you listen attentively to the Chazan, and you remind yourself after you said Shmonesri, and the Chazan then repeats it, if you have in mind that you want to listen carefully to every word that the Chazan says and be Yotze
with
saying the same Talamot of the Bracha, then you're Yotze that way. Which means you shouldn't be talking during Shmuel. So during the Chazaras Hashav,
should be listening.
That's the next project.
Yeah. Right. What about the Hashav to feel it? Right. I know these signs don't usually help.
No.
I remember seeing them years and years ago in the Chazaras Shtibul that I used to dominate sometimes with a friend of mine. The offer shtik of the Shas Tefillah. Beautiful is silence in the middle of the Tefillah. And of course, everybody would look at it and laugh and talk. I remember George Winnick, may he rest in peace. He also he would have on his college bag, if you remember, someone put in an ad in the Jewish press also saying, you know, don't talk to Shmonesri. So he would clip it in the
ad.
Yeah, he moved down to Baltimore, and then he passed away. He passed away several months ago. You didn't know that? Because he was buried over here. They brought him back over here for burial.
I know he had moved down there.
He passed away around September or something like that. Yeah.
Is that Vinick that's on TV? Is that his son?
No. Certainly not a close relative. I'm not sure whether they are related to begin with.
No, I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who you mean. The guy, right? Yeah, 22 or 40,
yeah,
whatever it's
for.
Gives the stock market, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Well, 40 is right. He's on 40. Right?
Yeah.
40.
Yeah, he's on 40 as well, as I remember.
40. 40. 40. 40. 40. On the weather.
On 40, yeah. 40.
Oh, they have a Jewish fellow now on 22. It's giving
22.
The weather.
George Bennett, that's the guy. I know it's George.
No.
He's on 22.
James
Vinick is the one who gives the stock market reports on Channel 40, as far as I know.
Maybe there's two things.
All right, anyway, George passed away. Why did I mention? Because he had on his Talizek over there. He used to have it.
I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
Boy, you go to those shows in New York, they talk.
Yes, worse than Kadima.
Worse, believe me.
Including very frum shoes, Young Israels and
you name
it, Stiblet and so on.
Yeah.
At times, the increased Torah, they have to stop it every two psukim. You can't hear it.
That's
and
right.
You're supposed to
listen to the Torah.
You must already listen to it. Not to be yotzeh. There's no question about that. Never. Stock market, ball games, whatever it may be.
Business, the whole
yeah, yeah. Okay.
Even shul business.
Yeah. Now, about the references, you know, to HaMelech HaKodesh, HaMelech HaMishpat, and so on and so forth. We are more lenient than the way Tosfos paskens. To HaMelech HaKodesh, the rule is that Taki, you have to go back to with the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei and say it over again. Okay? But with all the others, we say that if you forgot, then you don't have to repeat. Including HaMelech HaMishpat. Why? Because in the Brocha HaMelech HaMishpat, you still have the words Melech Oy Tzedoko U'Mishpat. So you have the basic concept over there. That's the reason why they said that. Okay. So much for halacha sukkah. Okay. All right. Now let's get back to our Gemara. Okay. Another statement. The Yomar Rabba Bar Chinen Osava, right? Mishmei the Rav. And another statement was made by Rabba the son of Chinen, the old man, in the name of Rav. He says, Kol she'ef shalo levakish rachmim chaveron. The yenu mevakish nikra kodeh. Anyone who has the opportunity to pray on behalf of someone, literally, you know, to beg for mercy, right, from the Beinu Shalom for someone else, and let's say somebody else is sick, someone else has tzoras. If you have a chance to pray on his behalf and you don't do so, in the mevakish, then nikra chote, then you are called a sinner. Shinemar, and there's a pasuk, that says, Gam Anochi Cholil Lo Mechato Lad Hashem, says, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against God, Mechado Le Hispalel Badchem, so that I should stop praying on your behalf. This happened to be said by Shmuel Hanavi, right? He says, in spite of the fact, you know, that you've come to me with request, you want a king, which to me means that you're being disloyal to the, you know, to God, who should be the sole king, right? But nevertheless, he says, God forbid that I should be a sinner against God by stopping to pray on your behalf. So, in other words, from this we see that if you don't pray for someone else, then you are sinning. So, you should bear others in mind too when you say your prayers. And of course, I mean, actually, our prayers are couched how?
Plural.
In the plural, exactly. So that, you know, we say, for example, we have in mind not just, you know, me personally, but we have in mind others as well.
Even in the top, in
right.
The long top, in
right.
The plural, it's
yeah.
Up to the,
yeah. True.
Everything.
Yeah. Omar Rava, says, in Talmud Chochem, who? What if he is a Talmud Chochem? That is, you know, the person who is in need, who is sick, whatever it may be. Then Zorah Sheyech La'atzmo Allah. Then in that case, you should even make yourself sick for him, in the sense that you should plead and beg and so on. You know, the Rebbeinu Shalom.
Put yourself out.
Right. Put yourself out, 100%. in order to do so. My Tama, for what reason? So the question is, you know, where do we find, you know, similar sukkim, let's say, that show this? Iglaima, if we say Mishum Desir, because it is written, the Yain Mechola Miken, or lie, literally, no one is sickening himself concerning me. In other words, no one is worrying himself for me. Right? The Gola Estazni, nor is anyone revealing my, literally uncovering my ear. In other words, no one is explaining to me why. This happens to be said by King Saul. So he says, Dilmo Melachani. So he says, well, maybe the reason is because he's a king, and the king is always in a different category. Ela Mahochi. But rather, we know that you should, you know, literally make yourself sick on behalf of someone else. In other words, beg, plead, and so on. It's written in the Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Vani v'chalosom levush. It says, and I, when they were sick, v'chalosom, when they were chaylim, right? So I put on sackcloth, he says, and I prayed, and I humbled myself, and so on and so forth. And who is he talking about? He's talking about Doeg and Achitophel, who happened to be, you know, his mentor, so to speak. But the point is that here is a man who puts himself out for others, and we see this is meant to be an example for us as well. The Yomar Rabba Bar Chinan HaSava, again another statement, Mishmei the Rav, in the name of Rav, it says, Kol Hoyse Dvar Avera, whoever commits some act of sin, omits Bayesh Bo, and then he is ashamed, you know, he realizes that he did something disgraceful, then Mochal in Lo, I'll call himself, then the Beni Shalaylam will forgive him for all his sins. Shenemar, and here is a pasuk, happens to be from the pasuk of Heskel, it's written over there, Laman Hiskari Vavosh, that you should remember and feel ashamed. V'lo yi'alokho piskon peh, if nekli masech, and you should no longer have any excuse to give, and because, you know, to prevent feeling ashamed. V'chapi lo, then in that case, what does Rav Enoshim say? He says, I will forgive you, l'chol asher asis, l'yum asher l'kim. I'll forgive you for everything that you've done. In other words, if you do feel busha, klima, cherpa, harota, whatever it is, then in that case, Rav Enoshim says, I will forgive you whatever you have done. So again, inasmuch over there, Yechezkel was talking about the congregation of Israel, the people of Israel, and their relationship to the Bnei Shalom. So the Gemara says, Dilma Tzibur Shani, maybe if it's a whole congregation, then it's different. In other words, the power of a congregation praying is always stronger than the power of the individual, right? So Elo Mahocha, so we have another passage where it's written by Yomi Shmuel El Shaul. Shmuel said to Shaul, this is in the last days of Shaul, he says, Lomihir Gastani, it's a famous episode over there, where Shaul is very depressed, he's about to face battle on the following day with the Philistines, and things are not looking very good, and so he seeks, and Shmuel had already died, so he raises up Shmuel through the witch of Endor to see maybe Shmuel has something to tell him. And what Shmuel tells him is not very good news. Vayomi Shmuel HaShaul, so Shmuel said to him, to Shaul, he says, Lomihir Gastani, why have you troubled me, Lahalozasi, in order to raise me, you know, from the dead, right. Vayomi Shaul, so Shaul said to him, Tzali Miyod, I am greatly distressed. Uplishtim Nilkomundi, the Philistines are warring against me. Vad Hashem, Sor Me Olai, and also God has departed from me. V'lo'anononi, and he has not answered me. Oh, you know, even Gambiyad Hanadim, whether it is through prophets, no prophet has come, you know, to tell me what's going to be. Gambachalamos, nor through dreams. So v'ekrachol l'cho, this is why I called upon you, l'hodiyeni, that you should let me know mo'e'eseh. What should I do? So now the Gemara says, v'ilu urim v'sumim doikolamah. Now, normally, the king had a special privilege that no one else had, and that is that if he had a problem, there was a last resort in order to try to find out the will of God, and that is through having the Kohen Gadol inquire through the Urim v'Thummim. Okay? Yet, Saul makes no mention of it. So the question is, why didn't Shaul mention that? That's all he mentions, that he tried two prophets, right?
Else,
he tried two dreams, and then he tried to, or Metum he didn't mention. So the answer is, Mishum de Katle Menov Yehakohanim. The reason being that he slaughtered the inhabitants of Nov, which was a city inhabited by Kohanim. This is, you know, he murdered them, of course. He murdered them because of the fact that they had sheltered David.